Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we have open phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, toll free, 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of Revelation, or you have a personal issue you'd like to discuss, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Friends, it's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. And it's day 17 of our focus on the book of Revelation. And here to keep it going, Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to dive into Revelation 16 in just a minute. But before we do, I wanted to read this passage from the book of Romans because it really is relevant to Revelation 16. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? That is one of the most concise statements of the gospel message in the Bible. It's powerful. But in this, we have a promise of being saved from God's wrath. Why is that important? Why is it relevant to today's study? Because Revelation 16 is the seven bowl judgments, or seven bowls judgments, however you say that. but here's what it says. Go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath. So as these bowls are poured out, they're pouring out God's wrath upon mankind. Not all of mankind, only those who have taken the mark of the beast, who live and stand in rebellion to God himself. That's where the wrath is being directed. If you're a child of God, that wrath is not for you. You're saved from it. So whether we're here when that occurs or whether we're snatched out of here before that occurs, that wrath isn't for us. If we're here, we'll simply watch it being poured out on the people who stand against God. Well, these seven bowls are quite horrific, aren't they, Richard?
Oh, yes. It's just one after another of things that just tear the earth apart. And when you see what it does and how many things are destroyed, I mean, everything, every living thing in the sea, all the world's oceans are killed in that second bowl. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine what that would be like. And yet, here it is. And then the rivers and the springs of waters get the same thing. And yet, you've got all of these other people who will not repent. It doesn't matter what God has done, how many chances he gives them, whether he shows them his power in love or his power in judgment, they will not repent.
They will not repent at all. I think that's one of the most astonishing truths in the Bible, that they will not repent, those who have taken the mark of the beast. And then we get the sixth bowl, and that's where all the armies gather up at Armageddon, and we envision it over there in Israel, in the Jezreel Valley. All the armies are going to be gathered there. And the reason they can get there is because the Euphrates River has been dried up and it's made easy passage to that particular place. Mm-hmm. But how they're gathered is very interesting. The beast sends out demonic spirits, and those demonic spirits deceive the rulers and their armies to gather up, to march to this place, and to battle the Lord. Are you kidding me? They think they can battle the Lord and actually win. They're marching there to win, to usurp God's authority, to kick him off his throne, and to set themselves right there. It's not going to happen, folks. No one has the power to battle the Lord.
And yet, if you think of any science fiction movie or story you've ever read, they're always about some great power from outside of Earth coming here, and only humans are the ones who can defeat those things.
Yeah.
That deception is being set up right now today in the way we entertain ourselves and read about things and all the rest of it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, there's really no battle.
No battle
Jesus
at all.
Jesus just speaks a word and it's done. Judgment is over. Rebellion is crushed. Nothing more yeah. is going to happen except for the recreation of earth and the heavens and this new order being brought into being here on earth. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing left. So here in this chapter, we see that this judgment is done, it's over, and when that happens, you know, thunder crashes and lightnings flash and the earth shakes and Babylon is destroyed once and for all, and still they curse God. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But here's the takeaway. You're saved from that wrath. That's good news.
That is good news. And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Plenty of open lines. 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock. Want to discuss it with you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk with Don. Hi, Don.
Hello. This is my first time listening to your show, and I would like to... I'm so blessed because I was just... talking about this very same thing to an associate at work. I'm a minister of the gospel, and I have a prison ministry. And Pastor Christopher, you're hitting the nail on the head so hard that I hope it rings in the hearts and minds of men across America, that we stand up straight and tell the truth. So-called Christians and Christian men, we are called. And the calling is stronger now than ever. Either you are a child of the light or you are a child of the darkness. Read in Revelation 3 about being lukewarm. If you're thinking that you're straddling the line and maybe you're a little bit Christian and but you like the darkness, you are a dark side mover. There is no gray area. We are called one man at a time to have a special relationship with Christ. Take your mission and take a hold of it, knowing what Pastor Christopher is saying is true. The provision is set before you. Don't think that you have to be part of an organization. Let's get in the agora. The dark side movers are taking center stage on God's earth, and we are letting them do it. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Stand up, tell the truth. The God of all power is the God of all truth, and the God of all power has given us truth's name. The name for truth is our lovely Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Absolutely. Well, Don, amen. Thanks for joining
yes.
the program
Thank
today.
So
we certainly appreciate your positive comments.
Yes,
and
indeed.
This gospel message needs to be proclaimed. People are dead in sin. They need to come to life.
Could you put me through to your desk so I can
We certainly join will, and we'll send you a copy of this booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. But would love to get to know you better, Don, and to
Thank
learn
you.
More about it, about your great work and figure out a way how we can help one another. You hang on, Don.
Thank
okay?
you.
Thank you, Don. Wow, that's a great way to get the program underway.
It is, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great to hear from Don. Well, plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Mike in New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi there.
It was quite interesting being on hold. You know, you opened up a whole Pandora's box of questions for me, but I will keep them brief. First of all, as to those people who are not being saved, forget about the world, just alone in this country, for the sake of being politically correct. I'll use New Jersey as a local example that they just passed homosexual marriages, and it's on a roll. And God forbid, if should you take a stand against that, you are beaten down as being prejudiced or not politically correct and such.
Well, and you're also described as a hate monger.
Exactly.
You know, and that's just not the case. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there certainly are folks that spew anger instead of love and those sort of things.
I'm talking as far as what's the Bible and
right.
what's right. You know, God did give us free will, but there again, I just want to emphasize the people that are in power are the ones that are really taking control of these issues.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I've likened it, you know, to a physician. You know, so you come in, you're not feeling too well, and, you know, the physician does a series of tests, and he determines a diagnosis and says you have cancer. Well, the reason he says that is because that there's help. There's a solution. There's a treatment that can be beneficial to somebody. The reason ministers and people in Christ call sin sin is because there's a solution to it. And that solution is Jesus Christ. So
Absolutely.
We're not to communicate that in a spirit of anger or with any hate. That's actually some of the most loving things that we can say, is to be able to call sin sin, because there's a solution. Jesus Christ is that solution. And
it's just a shame that this country has really turned against it. And not only aside from the people that are in power, the media and anyone that has any sway really turns against you. You know, God forbid you speak your mind out on the subject.
Right, right.
Yeah. Just to get to my question I called about, it's simple, but it's confusing to me. And in Armageddon, and I take it for gospel, no pun intended, that the good book says, you know, calls it like it is, and that the enemy will be defeated at that time. And those that are saved will, you know, be with the Lord. Now, that being the case, and being that it is basically well known, even though it is not acknowledged by everyone, how can the enemy possibly see that this come to pass if he knows he's going to end up in the lake of fire?
Well, I don't know what's going on in the mind of Satan, other than the fact that he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his purposes. He's already been defeated at the cross. He's been made a public spectacle at that moment. He is a defeated foe, but yet he still has the nature to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's going to live that out until the very end. And it's one of those things, you know, we have the cliche, misery loves company. People don't like to drink alone. They commiserate with others. It's just part of human nature. And I think Satan is trying to bring as many people down as he possibly can. And so he's going to fight until the bitter end.
And as you said, you know, it's plain and simple that Christ will prevail.
Yes.
You know, so,
yes.
I'm sure he's well aware of that fact. If I could, please, just one more very quick thing. In the Battle of Armageddon, now, in that battle, you said that the armies of the enemy will come up the Euphrates because that has dried out and such. Will the people that are saved, will they just be transported to that location, or how will that go?
Well, it doesn't say anything about the people who are saved in this particular passage. It just simply says that the beast is going to send out demonic spirits, and to the rulers of the world, they'll gather up their armies, and they're going to gather at this place called Armageddon. So it doesn't have any mention of where believers are going to be at that particular time. And if we're close by, if believers are close by, you know, they're just going to watch. But it doesn't say that. That's only speculation.
Yeah. But as you said, basically it would take a nod of the head of Christ and it would be all over.
Right, right.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a battle. It's just not a battle. I envision, you know, here's this little kid that's angry at his dad, and he's swinging fists and all of this sort of stuff, and the dad just puts his hand
on the forehead.
On the forehead, and nothing happens. I mean, nothing...
Yeah.
Nothing happens, and really here, Jesus just speaks. And so we see how powerful his word is. I mean, his word is what brought creation into being. You know, he spoke light, and light became. He spoke this, and there it was, and he said it was good. That's just the power of his word. He's going to speak, it's finished, and it's done. There will be no battle.
Yeah. And just one quick note to those people, as you mentioned, that are, do contemplate about going back into the world. Those are the Christians that I think take it as it's as simple as, you know, putting your name on a dotted line. It's not that simple. It's probably the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is being saved and, you know, living your life for the Lord.
Yeah, salvation is not just intellectual assent to a doctrinal statement. It's about turning away from the old way of life. That's repentance. And
absolutely.
And receiving Christ. That's faith.
And I know in my heart, because that's what happened to me. That's how it occurred with me. And
yeah. Well,
every day I try to stay strong in the Lord.
Well, Mike, we sure appreciate your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet, okay?
Yes,
you hang
thank
on.
You, sir. I appreciate it.
You are welcome.
Yeah, and friends, for a gift of any amount to aid you in your study of Revelation and support Basic Gospel at the same time, you'll receive our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. But if you can make a generous donation of $50 or more, you'll receive both the booklet and our CD series called Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. Just go to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. Again, basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828 to make the donation of your choice.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to George in Corpus Christi listening to us to KCTA. Hi, George.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your ministry. Appreciate it a lot. I hear televangelists say the Most High God, and to me, I only believe that there's one God, and as we all do. And so what exactly do they mean by that? I mean, I know that other faiths or cults, like the Jehovah's Witness, believe that Jesus was a lesser God, but I consider them all three equal. But can you expound on that a little bit? Or
well, our culture is a little bit different today than what the culture was back in Jesus' day, and certainly back in Moses' day and Abraham's day. You can go into Israel and you can go to various places, and they call them high places. And it's where they set up altars to other gods. You can go into some of the other countries surrounding Israel and you can see those particular altars as well. But there was this understanding that there's this Most High God, somebody that was higher than those. And that's where that phrase would come, and that's why it's significant to us. Like I said, we don't have those gods in our culture. You don't see people worshiping, you know, this god or this goddess here in the United States. Although we worship money, we worship sex, we worship power, we worship all of those sort of things. But none of those really have power. Only God himself has power, and he's revealed that to us in Christ Jesus. So I think that's where the phrase comes from. Richard, do you have some thoughts on that?
It's just a Jewish way of saying that the one true God is so supreme, so totally more than anything else humanity has invented. We always invent gods in our image, and the one true God is his own image.
Right. I think of Elijah battling the prophets of Baal, and, you know, all of the boasts that these prophets made about their gods. Mm-hmm. And Elijah just snickered, basically, and when it was all said and done, they had no power.
None at all.
Whatsoever. So the one true God revealed in Jesus Christ is the only one worthy of our worship, and yet we divert our worship all over the place. That's the real issue in the Bible. Who are you going to worship? We see that in the garden. Adam and Eve worshiped the one true God. They fellowshipped with him. They enjoyed relationship with him. And then Satan came along, and they changed the inclinations of their heart. They turned them toward the lie. And so now they're worshiping Satan. And when we come to Christ, that changes back. We now worship the one true God, the Most High God. Well, George, hope that helps. Thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet.
Can I ask one more question?
Certainly.
I was getting into I was having a discussion with my wife, who's Roman Catholic, and I was telling her that, you know, the way she was brought up may not be a truthful way for the Christian life. Of course, that got it heated and everything. And I told her, well, how many sins did Jesus die for, you know, almost, you know, over 2,000 years ago? And she said, I'm not answering that. I go, well, you need to answer that to understand where I'm coming, where I'm going with this. And then I told her, well, every time you go to a confessional and you're asking for forgiveness, you know, you're basically saying that Jesus didn't do the whole works. You know, he may have died for some of the sins, but not all of them. You're almost expecting Jesus to come back and do this all over again, which he's not going to do. And she basically said, so you're making Jesus out to be a liar? I said, well, that is what you're doing. You know, you're basically saying that. And then it got all crazy after that. But, so I don't know how to get her to come to the truth, but she's obviously brainwashed. And sorry, all of you Roman Catholics out there listening, but nothing against Roman Catholicism, but...
Well, the deal is between you and your wife at this point, and what I would suggest you doing instead of having a discussion, and you're coming from your perspective, she's coming from her perspective, go into the Word of God and just say, hey, let's study the Word of God together. Let's don't come to the Word of God with preconceived notions. Let's just read it and see what it says to us. And let's come to grips with what that is and believe together. The Word of God is powerful, and it can penetrate, and it can bring understanding in ways that discussions just can't do. So I would suggest maybe going in the book of John, and we have some Bible study materials that we can send you and would be glad to do that, where you just read some passages and just ask some questions about what those passages are saying to you. And if they're saying this, then how does that relate to, you know, what we've believed before? And I think that's the best way to really have a good, solid discussion.
I offered that to her, and she basically said that you're just interpreting it wrong.
Yeah.
I go, well, no, I don't think so. I mean, just
keep talking to her, and you never know, but do so in a loving and kind and gentle way. You hang
appreciate
on.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome, you George. You hang on. We'll send some information to you.
Fill us in on the financial issue, Bob.
Well, I will. We certainly need support. This is a listener-supported broadcast. We need people to stand with us, make gifts of $25, $50, $100, whatever it might be. If this ministry has touched you, we ask you to stand with us and help touch others with the good news of Jesus Christ. We're saying this ministry helps connect people to the love of Jesus. I can think of no better thing to invest in than that. So join with us right now. We need to hear from you today.
Absolutely. And thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel, everybody. If you liked what you heard, we ask you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And to thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with a gift of any amount, we'll be happy to send you a copy of the booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. But if you can offer a donation of $50 or more, we'll send you the booklet and the 8-message CD series by Richard Piper called Revelation, It's No Mystery. It's your gifts that keep Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time can bring you new understanding of the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future for a Gift of Any Amount, that booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make your donation, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours or at our website, basicgospel.net. While you're there, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list for news and information about the ministry and for resources available to you. So, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.